Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
American Redoubt on this beautiful Father's Day, 17th day of June, the 22nd episode of 2018. This is episode 1822. Thank you all for tuning in across the fruited plains in the occupied zones. Take heart and be encouraged. You're not alone. Just because you're not in the free zones doesn't mean that you're all by yourself. There are patriots on your left and on your right. Although they want to make you feel like you are alone. We're talking about the they. You know, the proverbial they. Who's they? Well, everyone who's battling all of the heritage and everything you stand for, your conservative values, your Christian beliefs, our Christian heritage, and the things that you know to be right. Well, I want to thank you guys all for standing for truth. I want to thank our fathers, my father. Father, Dad, happy Father's Day. Now, I didn't get a chance to spend time with my dad today, although I did give him a call, but I spent time with my kids. And so that's why I didn't get a chance to really work on the show today like I wanted. And it's been just a crazy busy week. So I wasn't able to get everything together, but a lot of stuff's been going on. I'm not prepared to talk about tonight, but I just want to let you know what it was without all of the details. But details are coming on some of the things that I was working on this week. First of all, many of you may or may not have heard about a shooting that took place almost exactly 1 week ago to the hour. Well, approximately, 10:30 to 11 o'clock at night last Sunday, right after we got done recording or got done airing Radio Free Redoubt. Probably not even before the old time radio show was over, there were a couple of American citizens in California lost on a UTV, a utility, all terrain vehicle, side by side, a RZR. They were involved in an incident where the woman was shot, a nurse. She was shot through the hand, which most likely saved her life because the bullet passed through her hand and grazed her head, ending up in about 14 staples. Gunshot wound through the hand by a BLM agent. Now, I spoke and debriefed. I did the initial debrief with Pedro and Denise Mejia and their daughter. And so I want to thank them very much for taking the time to speak with me and with the Coalition of Western States. So I did the initial debrief for the Coalition of Western States. We've been corresponding this week with Chris Ann Hall, Representative Matt Shea, several other leaders in the Patriot community from the 10th Amendment Center to other legislators from various different states. And we are furious. They are furious. I'm furious. Because this was clearly an unjustified shooting. Another case where an American citizen was shot, and this is where I don't want to get too much into this. This happened last Sunday, the 11th of June, Riverside County, California. So this is so egregious. It's time for the Bureau of Land Management to immediately stop all law enforcement, pull their law enforcement so-called authority. I don't know where they get the authority to act like law enforcement in the first place. They're land managers, but this is out of control because this is not an isolated incident. This is a pattern, a very disturbing pattern, and there's going to be some pressure, some political pressure, and Congress. There are Congress, those in Congress, those at the highest levels of the administration that are being made aware of this, that are going to, we're going to be working a campaign to stop the law enforcement, the lethal force capabilities of the Bureau of Land Management until some congressional oversight can be implemented. And I'm hoping a moratorium on lethal force for Bureau of Land Management is brought down immediately. Well, that's the stuff that's going to be coming out. Well, not coming out, but things that are being worked on right now and will be continued to this week. The other thing that I had the privilege of speaking with the liaison from Sightlanders in South Africa, Simon Roche, and also I got to speak with, well, I was in a conference call with him and the senior director of communications. And Sightlanders is, the largest civilian organized civil defense organization who are taking proactive measures in ahead of an anticipated, many say, an inevitable civil war, civil unrest, where they are part of a demographic that has been targeted for oppression, tyranny, and even extermination. So we're going to see what we can do, hopefully, for AMRON to be able to assist, the AMRON network to be able to assist the Sightlanders to provide them with communication support if and when this civil war, essentially, the Sightlanders do not want it. They're not asking for it. They're doing everything they can to avoid it, but it seems to be something that is being thrust upon them. And potential even genocide they are facing. So that's going on. I've got interviews with them. That's recorded. I want to be very careful about what we put out there. Of course, there's going to be some things that will be very sensitive information. Lives will be on the line. So I want to be careful about that. But please remember to lift up the Sightlanders in your prayers. Thank you for supporting them and with your prayers. And also your financial contributions that are helping them achieve some of their goals with purchasing fuel and critical communications equipment. So they said they're very grateful for that. And then finally, before I get into this, what I want to do here for segment one, by the way, segment one is brought to you here by Glenn Tate, the author of the 299 Days book series. All 10 books out, including the audio files. But we're not going to do a regular news and commentary section here. I want to do a kind of a Father's Day special here. And then we are going to bring on our guest from that we had yesterday morning. If you didn't get a chance to listen to him, G.R. Mobley, it was an honor to have him with us. He's going to be joining us tonight. And we're going to do three segments tonight. Because I promise tomorrow night, before even thinking about being out with my kids all day, which is such a blessing, not all of them, but the ones that I was able to be with, I was with, and it was awesome. I didn't want it to end. I was like, I don't feel like doing a show. I don't want to do a show, but like, you got to do it. Go get them, you know. So, all right, cool. I'll do the dad thing and continue with the mission. But I want to share something with you. But first, Mark Herr from Center for Self-Governance, doing an amazing job. If you guys aren't aware of Center for Self-Governance, the director of that, Mark Herr, H-E-R-R, they are teaching people how to play political chess, how to strategically win in your communities, in your states, on the political chess game. They do an excellent job. I've been through Center for Self-Governance levels 1 and level 2, and I can't recommend it highly enough. But they have a side project, and that is the video project that they, of course, you know, they did the video series. The first video last year, we saw that, and that's actually up on YouTube. I'm going to pull that up and find it for you again. But the Bundy Ranch standoff, a very objective approach to what really happened on the ground. And then video 2, we got to see a sneak peek last night. They showed two of them, one up in Sandpoint, Idaho, and then last night in the Spokane Valley. And I attended that. And afterward, we got to go out to dinner with Representative Matt Shea and Lavoie Finicum's widow, Jeanette Finicum, and Mark Herr from Center for Self-Governance, and some other awesome patriots that I'm just not going to mention. But they are outstanding, powerful patriots from various different backgrounds, different influences, different disciplines, if you will. Wonderful people. And we had a great time discussing this after we watched we got the sneak peek preview of the second video, Lavoie, Dead Man Talking, another objective approach to who Lavoie Finicum is, was, and what his legacy is, what his dream and his vision was, and you're going to see it's conclusively, this is no domestic homeland terrorist. This is a true American patriot. His loss is tragic, but we don't want it to be in vain. And so the reason why this was a sneak peek is because it is going to actually be officially debuting at the Red Pill Expo next weekend in Spokane, Washington. And then this video is going to be made available. They got they're going to be working on the DVDs for the video, first video, the Bundy Ranch, and then Lavoie Finicum, Lavoie, Dead Man Talking. They're going to be working on producing the videos for that after the Red Pill. So stay tuned. It was an honor to be with all those patriots last night. It's an honor to be counted as a patriot among them. So there was a lot of excerpts from Lavoie's blog, One Cowboy's Stand for Freedom. And it was just a wonderful thing. So more on that to come. Be looking for that. We're going to be I really want to promote this. I feel like I lost a friend. I didn't really know him personally. I never met him in person. We only had texting communication prior, you know, to his death. But amazing man. The more I've learned about him. So I want to give you the put that on your radar. We're going to be helping to promote that once the DVDs are available. Now, I received one of the most amazing gifts. I've received several gifts from listeners, and it's just blows me away, the hearts of the people out there. But I received something that I was absolutely not expecting. I was blown away by this. It's something that's been on my list for a long time to acquire, and I just hadn't done it. I just hadn't made myself do it. I hadn't made it a priority enough to move it to the top of the list, but somebody else did it for me. You know, I've referenced my Patriots Bible often. It's a New King James Version, and it has so much of our history and speeches from statesmen and the founding fathers, you know, all through it. But there's one by Wall Builders. We air their podcasts, Wall Builders, live right before Radio Free Redoubt every Sunday night. And they produce a Bible called the Founders Bible. And this is, I just received this recently, and this is just absolutely beautiful. It is amazing. It is, as much as I love the Patriot Bible, this is so much more. What has gone into this is just absolutely incredible. It's chock full of examples of our heritage and our history. And there's stories that takes us back to, it ties biblical principles into American founding and the discussions and the speeches. And it's got the Constitution. It's got the Bill of Rights in the back. It has, I just don't have time to really get into everything. But one thing that I found, you can search by subjects. And so I went to the back and I looked up father, and there it is, father. So I turn to page 929. It takes you to Proverbs. And, you know, Proverbs Proverbs 4. Well, actually, all through here it talks, but father's instructions is in Proverbs chapter 4. And then Proverbs 1:8 says, you know, basically listening to your parents. So I went to this additional information that they've added in here, and I want to share it with you because it's Father's Day. So 1:8 says, hear my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And it's appropriate because it's Father's Day. The Bible, recognizing that parents are a source of valuable experience and thus of insight and wisdom, advises children to listen to them. Consider examples of Bible-based advice that five founding fathers and mothers gave their children. Now, this is from page 929 of my Founders Bible that I have had such a difficult time putting down this week. I can't put it down. I keep wanting to run back to it because it's so rich with American heritage and weaves our Christian heritage into the founding of our country and our laws and our Constitution. It's just, I'm so excited about this. I thought the Patriots Bible was just the thing to have. and it is. I love it. I love it because it adds different components. But this is just amazing. I love it. So I don't have time to read all of these, but I want to read something right here. Okay. During the Revolution, signer of the Declaration, Richard Stockton, was captured by the British. They ravaged and destroyed his lands and possessions and placed him in a prisoner of war camp where he was repeatedly tortured and abused. He was eventually released in a prisoner exchange arranged by Congress. But by that time, his health was shattered. Knowing that he was dying and that his children would grow up without their father, he lovingly told them, and I'm quoting, "As my children may probably be particularly impressed with the last words of their father, I think it proper here not only to subscribe to the entire belief of the great and leading doctrines of the Christian religion, but also in the bowels of a father's affection to exhort and charge them that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." And of course, that's coming from Proverbs 9:10. Continuing on, he says that the way of life held up in the Christian system is calculated for the most complete happiness that can be enjoyed in this moral state, and that all occasions of vice and immorality is inferior either immediately or consequentially even in this life. So he's passing on words of wisdom to his children, and there's multiple examples here of fathers and mothers from the founders who pass on words of wisdom, including George Washington's mother, but we're talking specifically about fathers and advice to fathers. So if you haven't had a chance to, I know Father's Day is already over. You're listening to this Sunday night, but when you get a chance to, if you've not done so already, go back and read Proverbs chapter 4, a father's instruction. And maybe it can give you some inspiration for inspiring your children, fathers. Such a critical component to our society, fathers. We need real men. We need real men, warrior men, but we need tender warriors to step forward and be very much engaged in the next generation and teaching your children. But you have to be close to the Lord yourself before you can teach them in the wisdom of the Lord, right? So if you don't have this, the founding spot, we'll put a link up here, an affiliate link. It helps support Radio Free Redoubt, to the Founder's Bible, The Origin of the Dream of Freedom. So anyway, I hope you guys, I hope you're as blessed by that as I was. And if you get your get a chance to get your hands on this, hey, make a great Christmas present if it's not something that you can pull off right now. But amazing gift. Thank you so much. Can't say it enough. Okay, now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got two different segments coming up with G.R. Mobley, constitutional scholar, former Marine. Oh, there's no such thing as a former Marine. Retired Marine. And so much more. Radio host, great guy. Look forward to working with him in the future right here in the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. And don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State, there are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's unconstitutional to split a state. Well, that's simply ridiculous. Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution says that no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. So all it takes is a vote of the House and Senate at both the national and state level to make it happen, and it's happened before. 1792 Kentucky, 1820 Massachusetts, 1863 West Virginia, and this is not to mention on the world stage, cattle in Scotland, Ireland, and Brexit. You see, reestablishing boundaries to better represent the values, traditions, cultures, and customs of a people is actually a very normal phenomenon and the proper way to protect and preserve those beliefs for generations to come. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican.
This is segment two, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive. If you are trying to make plans for your property with the forethought of integrating the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, and security features, those things are crucial, and you may need some help that might not be your area of expertise. Well, there's some folks that are committed to doing just that and helping others. They provide services at Strategic Landscape Design, and that's their website, strategiclandscapedesign.com. Also, if you are looking for a property and you want some help comparing properties, what might be best for you for food production and water and defensibility, then you might need some help with that. So get a hold of them, strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right. We are rejoined by a guest that we had yesterday morning, on Saturday morning, over on KTW, because we just ran out of time. It's a 30-minute show. Everything goes fast. We get all excited. And plus, I stole a few minutes from him on my own little rant that I went on. So I try not to do that. But it's an honor to bring back one of our own experts in constitutional studies. He's a statesman and a retired Marine and an author. He is the senior editor over at Mobius Strip Press and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, not to mention his radio shows over at Red State Talk Radio from 3 to 4 p.m. and also on KSBN from 4 to 5 every Wednesday. So it's an honor to bring back G.R. Mobley. Thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thank you. And happy to serve.
Yesterday, we started talking about the states. We've got, 2 to 5 years. And of course, we all agree, Trump, thank God, has given us some borrowed time that we want to make the most use of. You were talking about educating our legislators so that they are emboldened and educated in order to be able to stand up and hold the federal government accountable, to remind them they're subjects of the states, or they're created by the states, the federal government was, and to put them back in their constitutional box. So let's pick up there where we left off. Where do we go from here?
I'd be happy to. So we do not have time to educate the entire electorate. What we have to do is get the patriot leaders on board. There are 5,445 state legislators that have the power, and most of these people are decently good people, especially in these dark red states like Idaho, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, and so forth. Utah would be another one, in Kansas. Those are the six states I am focusing on. And so what I'm trying to do, and if you go onto ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, I have this petition script that actually has the pledges of the state legislators that I've actually thrown out there. I've got one legislator in the state of Idaho that has committed to calling for republic review and auditing the Constitution coming up in 2019. I'm trying to get several other states to do the exact same thing, and I'm actually focused the most on Wyoming because it is the reddest state. And so what I ended up doing with this Idaho primary is, because I finally got one, because I tried to reach out to a lot of the state legislators in Idaho, and they just didn't want to give me time. The good excuse was that they were too busy campaigning. And I go, well, I would be happy to help you if you would give me the time and commit to the Constitution. I got one guy to do it. And so in the process, I used my radio show, my daily radio show, and asked my listeners to throw this guy love and give give him a $2, $10, whatever you can afford. Just throw him some contributions. He got a surge of money the last 2 weeks, and he signed the commitment 2 weeks before the primary. He got the surge of money and was able to do the radio show ads and everything else, and he unseated a 30-year rhino and wow. won the election by only 2% because of this last-minute surge. And so we can affect these elections. We can get the right guys in. It doesn't require a million people to do this. If I have 100,000 people throwing a couple of dollars out to literally these small campaigns in Wyoming and so forth, that is the magnitude of like millions of dollars in their campaign races, because they run out their shoestring budgets. They don't have money. There's not a lot of things going on as far as business and money being thrown around in Wyoming. So why would anybody be interested in Wyoming? Right. I'll tell you why. If I can get Wyoming to stand up, I will create a wave of courage to call for Davids to stand against Goliath, because one David cannot defeat Goliath. We need a wave of Davids, and Davids being the states. If I can get Wyoming to stand up, it will make it easier for the two Dakotas, Kansas, Utah, Idaho, and the rest of the flyover states. We will quickly have 13. We will quickly gain momentum. This will spread like a wildfire because the states will be emboldened when they realize that they have all the authority not delegated. Anyway.
Okay, so when they do this republic review and auditing of the Constitution, what is the difference between that and what is called an Article 5 convention?
Okay, first off, an Article 5 convention requires that the states apply to Congress to amend the Constitution, and it requires two-thirds of the states to apply. To enforce the Constitution, it is an inherent right of the state, and they do not have to apply for their authority. That's why Jefferson and Madison, that's exactly what they did. They tried to enforce the Constitution, and then they just nullified the unconstitutional laws because they couldn't get anybody else to join. But when you have enough states to join that you can control the influence of Congress, you now can enforce and actually invoke the change required in dismantling this Leviathan.
Okay. Where do you stand on – so there is definitely a difference between what you're discussing, republic review and auditing the Constitution versus an Article 5 convention.
Convention, correct.
Okay. Where do you stand on the Article 5 convention?
Well, so we have – as I've told you, we have a finite amount of time. There's only 12 states that have current active applications for a convention. And they've been doing this for a long time. There's too much headwind. And bottom line is there is no silver bullet amendment that can shut down unconstitutional government. What are you going to do? Pretty please obey the Constitution Amendment 28?
Right.
In other words – it doesn't take – and that's why Madison and Jefferson didn't go for an amendment. They went for enforcement. There is no amendment in fixing this problem. It is an enforcement issue. So the states have to do their job. And so we only have a finite amount of time. And the greatest danger would be that all of a sudden the convention gets this huge win. Let's just say in 2 years they've got all the states they need and they're forcing this convention. If they fail – and they will fail – then there's this term, it's a contractual term, because remember, the Constitution is a contract and it kind of falls under contract law. The stakeholders, I'm asserting that this does fall under contract law. The states have the authority to audit and oversee their contract and interpose and actually rebuke their subcontractor, especially when there's no court that has jurisdiction over this.
Right.
And so if they fail, then there's this term called collateral estoppel, which means you only have a certain amount of shots at trying to correct the behavior or correct the problem. And there will be progressive lawyers that will be swarming to court if all of a sudden they go, okay, we'll audit the contract now. No, you're putting the cart in front of the horse, and you're endangering the ability to truly address the problem that we need to address. And so collateral estoppel basically says you cannot continually literally drag your subcontractor into court and bleed them to death through through the litigation and so forth.
Right.
So it is a thing that they put in law a long time ago to protect subcontractors from being brutalized by big deep pockets of their primary contractors. And so I believe that the progressive states will try to use something like that, even though it won't hold. It will be enough for the army of useful idiots to try to, you know, create a revolt against the audit. Because when I talk to academic professors, every single one of them, not one of them can shut me down. And every single one of them does not like Republic Review. Even though they don't like the Article 5 process, they would rather see Article 5 go through, because it will not shut down the billions of dollars they receive through the education funding of higher education.
Right.
And so they know Republic Review will turn that faucet off.
What does Republic – okay, so what does Republic Review mean?
Okay, so
– what happens?
Okay, I'll give you the background on it. The judicial review is an unconstitutional power that the federal government and the Constitution did not give the Supreme Court the ability to go out of its jurisdiction and reach down into lower courts and review cases that are not like Roe v. Wade. There is no jurisdiction over health care, over even privacy and those types of things. They had no jurisdiction on that, and they reached down and grabbed that with judicial review. And that was a term that most everybody understands. Republic review. Republic means that you've got the body of the states involved in a review or the auditing process. So this is just a constitutional term of the states asserting their authority over the contract and calling out the federal government for egregious violations. Even though Madison and Jefferson didn't call it that, back in those days, they called it a convention because they used a convention for everything.
Right.
And they didn't have the technology to exercise a republic review like we could today, because you don't have to go to Independence Hall or do a boondoggle in some state. These state legislators can work from their state capital online, working together in a collaborative environment. And actually, I address this in my third book that's never been published, how to create the architecture so that they can have a distributive computing environment so that they can work together and have it secure behind crypto and everything else, so that they don't have the threat of the federal government or anybody else trying to bust in and stopping what they're doing.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And so it literally becomes a republic review, where the republic is literally going through, because you have to realize there's over 600, I think, today, current offices, departments, agencies, blah, 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 that are operating on independent budgets. You can just go and find this huge list of a plethora of unconstitutional government. And so the states have to wade through every single one of those. And it gets pretty easy when you go to the department and say, okay, anything and everything underneath the Department of Interior, like the BLM, land management, that type of stuff, that is all unconstitutional. So when you hit those agencies and offices that may be sub to that, then, you know, that just all goes away. And you just basically then identify to Congress, you have to make these things go away now. And so,
right.
And let me back out. I truly believe that these people are human beings, and I truly believe that they think they're in a legitimate job. And I don't believe anybody likes to be told the day they walk into work that you're out of a job. So I honestly believe that we have to cut down the funding to minimum for staffing and give these people a reasonable amount of time to find a job and to reckon with the reality that their career is gone, that their retirement has been a facade, and everything else that they've been doing. And there's lots of people, and ergo another reason why I go by GR, because there's people that are going to be personalizing this, and they're going to be going after, you know, the bad news guy.
Right. Kill the messenger.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So one of the things that, you know, let's take, for example, the states taking control of lands that are currently managed by the federal government.
Oh, yeah.
If the states asserted their constitutional right to take control of these lands, that the lands belong to the states, they're not territories any longer, and these states are to be turned over to this land is to be turned over to the states. When this was first proposed, I remember Governor Otter both the governors of Washington and Idaho were saying, oh, we could never afford to manage those ourselves. Look at just the cost of fighting forest fires. You know, without federal funding, if the federal government wasn't managing that, we could just never afford to manage that ourselves. So we have a problem where they don't want to be. They've got this pacifier. They don't want yanked out of their mouth. And
if I can interject.
Yeah, how do we overcome that?
They're maintaining the paradigm that that's government property.
Right.
Back in the days, in the 70s and even before they actually usurped these properties, these lands were being managed by organizations called Boise Cascade, Weyerhaeuser, logging companies, and so forth, where they were actually going through and doing a good stewardship in managing the land. My grandfather was an owner of a logging company in Oregon. And he said in the 70s, when they were coming down with these policies, he goes, you will create a day when you will have wildfires that you will not be able to control. And you're going down a path that's going to be causing more problems and more destruction, property damage, and so forth. And he was absolutely right.
Yeah. Oh, we see that. We see that every day. We've directly been involved in that.
So even though the money goes away, the strings and the regulations go away with the money. That means that the state can now unleash this potential revenue and start competing with Canada once again. Because the only reason Canada is actually able to supply, you know, all of this soft timber is because we're not producing it. It's the same reason why farmers are receiving subsidies, so we have to buy produce out of South America and out of other countries. Our government has been shutting down our economy in the manipulation to create an interdependency in global trade and global commerce. And so our farmers, see, there's a danger when you kind of shut your businesses down. It's not that easy to just turn a switch on and now you're growing things. Your equipment becomes old, or maybe you don't even keep your equipment anymore because you think the teat is going to provide you milk all this time.
Right.
And it's the same thing with logging and everything else. So it'll take us a while to get back going. But if people actually start seeing that there's this new trend, that we're actually going to be able to take this land back, hopefully people are going to start getting the investments and preparing themselves so that when we get rid of these regulations and stop this money flow, we can unleash the commerce that will come out of these Western states.
Yeah. If they would release it, now we've become so embroiled in this Agenda 21, Agenda 30, environmental justice laws that are, you know, protect the environment. They've legally bound up so many of our natural resources, not to mention who knows how many trillions of dollars are tied up in as collateral for, you know, the debt that we've accumulated. We need to be able to, that's a huge hurdle that,
well, so
maybe
if
this
I can
Republic
just correct
review,
one little thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Even though they have tied us in legal terms, it is all unconstitutional and it's all based upon illegal assertions.
Exactly.
And so the states they have the authority, they can strip the – I like to use the metaphor of Lord of the Rings. When Gandalf goes into Rohan and talks to King Rohan with his staff, and King Rohan is under the spell of the soothsayer called Wormtongue, and he hits him on the head and goes, get out, wake up, you old fool. And then King Rohan's spell breaks and he realizes he still has his kingdom. He still has his power. He's not dying and that he's been under this spell. And
yes,
then he literally starts to assert his authority again that he absolutely possesses. That's exactly what the states are in. Their states are under a spell believing that they can't do anything. They don't need that money. We can actually get – we would thrive as soon as we get the federal government these
we
leashes
snap
off
snap them
of
out
us.
Of this, like you said, a spell that they're under. How do we smack them in the head with the proverbial staff and get them out of this stupor?
The audit process, we have to get these states to literally, because if you want to put the fear and there's some other things I want to talk about, but once you create this fear, because the federal government, when they realize that the one state will be just a gnat, but when all of a sudden this starts spreading to other states, hey, they're talking about auditing the Constitution, getting rid of all the things that they haven't delegated to us. And then they go, well, what does that mean? And they're going to start panicking.
Yeah.
And the best thing that can happen is that they get hit with a second I'll call it a distraction. And there's two distractions that are really critical that we probably don't have time for. One is the 17th Amendment, and the other one is these state splits, like the state of liberty, California going into a state split. Because I'm calling all my I'm basically telling all of my listeners that if you live in a state like Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, California, Oregon, Washington, you need to start supporting a splitting of the state to separate the progressive side from the red counties.
Yes.
And there's two ways to do that, but we probably don't have enough time to get into all of that.
Well, that's something that I definitely want to hit with you. We're talking about Liberty State. You and I were talking about that offline in our correspondence back and forth, and you had some ideas that you could, you know, certainly make that happen, or, you know, to push things in that direction. If you've got, you know, an extra 15 minutes just to take the time to talk about that in another segment.
If I have the 15 minutes now, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Let's do it then.
Okay. Well, so here it is.
So let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. We'll finish this up. And I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this because, you know, being involved in the 51st state committees and everything, this is really good stuff. So I'm all ears to all strategies. So we'll be back. We are with G.R. Mobley, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay right there. Hi, are you looking for property in North Idaho, particularly up in the northern part of the panhandle, and you need some help? Well, you can reach out to Selkirk Mountain Real Estate at selkirkmountainrealestate.com, helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt. Check them out today, selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Welcome back. Hopefully you guys are all enjoying this. This is really good information. This is segment three, the final segment here. And segment three is brought to you by Works Holsters. Works LLC. They make custom-made holsters right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Inside the waistband and outside the waistband holsters, they got it. And they are professional quality, as many of you can attest. And so can I. Check them out, works.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z as in Zulu, works.com. We are with G.R. Mobley. We're talking about a Republic review and auditing the Constitution with some real strategies. Not talking about an Article 5 convention process, but this discussion is going to continue on over the coming weeks and months, but we're just now getting into Liberty State now as an option with G.R. Mobley beginning to propose, just at the end of this last segment, proposed really pushing for these states that where you've got this movement, this underlying movement, to bring that to the surface for these states that are deeply divided between red and blue to begin considering and moving toward separation into or splitting into another state, like we are in Western versus Eastern Washington with Liberty State. So, G.R. Mobley, thank you for being with us.
No problem. And as a matter of fact, as I always say, it's a pleasure to serve. Let me start off with the fact that it's a blessing to have Matt Shea and the state legislators in Washington moving forward with their proposal of the State of Liberty. There's a movement in California that have been trying to gain legs, and I think they just passed a really bad approach. But constitutionally, every state can split, and every state can go through the process. But the first hurdle they have to get over is getting the state legislators to sign off on splitting the state. If you can get the state legislators, then it's just a matter of Congress. And what Congress will do is they'll go, huh, you know what? We have to add some seats to the Senate, and we're going to have to some of these people are going to lose their I'll use the quote unquote their power, because some House representatives, because of the way the legislative districts are, they will have to change. And so they may not be able to come back. So some of these people will go, hey, you can't let this happen to me. Anyway, who cares about them?
Right.
What the focus is, and the real problem is the Republican form of government has not been adhered to by the states because we have aligned into a Democratic form of government. And so that's why population centers are ruling states with all sorts of progressive, unconstitutional policies, and they're allowing the federal government to run rickshaw over them. And so the state splits, there's two processes. You have to have a dual mechanism to create the pressure on the state legislators. So what you do is you have this plan like the State of Liberty. Then at the same time, you get your red county commissioners start talking about calling for a state constitutional convention to review and redo the state constitution. And so you got that working on the side. You force the pressure to get the state legislators to give you your second state. And if they refuse to vote, then you pull the trigger on your county commissioners to have them call to convene a constitutional convention for the state. And what that will do is it will force the counties to send delegates into redoing the state constitution. And in doing so, King County, just in these high population centers, they will recognize that they will lose their advantage of population because as a Republican form of government, the counties are the ones that will send the delegates and they get one vote. That's it. One voice, one vote for each county. So if you start recognizing that these big, huge population centers like Chicago, like Detroit, Indianapolis, and so forth, they will lose their control because they've been able to gerrymander their legislative districts so that they've received extra representation. Let me back out a little bit. If people understand the Sherman Compromise, the Federalist Papers and the ratification debates kind of gloss over this a little bit, but they do talk about two specific constituents because the interests are different for the people as well as the regional governments. That's what the Sherman Compromise was, and that is why they have the Senate or a bicameral legislative body in Congress, because the House represents the people and the Senate represents the states. What they were talking about was the sub-element of government is a constituent. They have disparate interests from the people. And so they wanted to ensure that they had a representation of those constituents to protect their interests as well as the constituents of the people to protect their interests, you know, from wars and those types of things and taxes and so forth. So anyway, this was applied in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, that the United States shall guarantee a Republican form of government. Why do you think every state in the union has bicameral legislative bodies? Because they were supposed to recognize the two separate constituents that would exist in the states, because all states were broken down by seats of government and counties. They were the sub-element, and so they are a constituent to ensure oversight over the legislative actions that are being done within the state, just like in the Senate, in Congress. And so people are completely dumbfounded on this bicameral legislative stuff and Republicanism, because we haven't been teaching it for well over a century.
Right.
So anyway, in reinforcing this Republican form of government, we can't do that right now. But what we can do is we can force it by creating these pressures in these states so that all these states all of a sudden start calling for constitutional conventions, all these counties. And what will happen is there's no doubt in my mind, King County will try to say, well, we want a representation towards the people, not the county.
Right.
Then it will be forced to go up to Congress, and Congress will be forced to resolve the issue, because this is not a Supreme Court issue. This is a political issue. And every time the guarantee clause, which is what that Article 4, Section 4 is called the guarantee clause, every time it's come up for review to the Supreme Court has always said, hey, this is a political issue. Congress has jurisdiction over this. And the reason we're in this mess is because Congress never failed to define why we have bicameral legislative bodies and why we've not, you know, followed the Republicanism and why we've migrated towards democracy. And so What this will do is it will force either the fixing of all the states by Congress finally taking action, or we will start splitting up lots of states and Congress will then be redone with the appropriate senators, or I should say even more, because we'll actually add senators. So the Senate will grow, you know, two Senate seats for each new state.
Right.
And if I have my way, that would be 20 more senators, or actually 40 more senators, because we'll have 20 more states stood up.
Right.
And that will literally change the landscape of the Senate. And I think the Senate will realize, hey, we're going to lose control and no longer represent the new constituents that we represent. And who are those? That is the globalist, lobbyist, and special interest groups. Because the Senate, now that they are elected via a direct democracy instead of from the state legislators, that's why millions of dollars are in play in every Senate seat.
Yes.
I mean, multiple millions of dollars. So anyway.
That's another thing that needs to go.
Right. So the 17th Amendment is another issue, and I kind of tickled you with that.
Yes.
Just to give you a real macro view of this, the 17th Amendment is in conflict in the Constitution. Most people don't even know this.
Yeah, it needs to go.
Go read Article 5 of the Constitution. The very last line says that no state shall surrender – actually, you know what? I can even pull this up for you because it only takes me a second to do this. Article 5 right here, and these are the words exactly that it says, that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. When they were talking about the state, they were talking about the representation of the state, not the representation of the people. And so
right.
Utah, there's seven states that have not consented to, you know, going into or surrendering their representation in the Senate. And because this conflicts with the process that the 17th Amendment has incurred, they can actually reject the democracy process. And here's the best part. In 2012, I think it was either Delaware or Maryland, they changed their position from rejecting to accepting the 17th Amendment. Legally, when you open the door and you allow that to happen, the door has to swing both ways.
Right.
That means Oklahoma, Texas, and any state, Idaho, any state that no longer wants to follow the 17th Amendment now can change it because they're allowing the change of ratification or rejection to ratification and so forth. Does this make sense?
Well, I was just going to ask, isn't it true that all of the states did not ratify the 17th Amendment?
And the audit, actually, if you read my bullets, the audit will go through and verify whether the states really did ratify the 17th and 16th Amendments, because Benton wrote a great academic article that proves, at least he is submitting the case, that those were not properly ratified amendments because they didn't have the technology, and Wilson just rushed and said, we did this, and they've been kind of doing cleanup ever since. And so the audit process will force the states to validate, did they actually and authentically ratify each of the amendments since the Bill of Rights, or actually since the 12th Amendment, or since the Civil War?
Right.
And there's also this movement out there of these sovereign citizens that are talking about the United Corporations and so forth,
oh,
and
boy.
They're going down. If you look at this video that I do, and I have a video out on YouTube that does a presentation, it's a 30-minute presentation, but what I try to point out to people is that there's all sorts of problems. There's the abortion. There is immigration. There is Common Core. There is these corporations. And these become pet peeves for people, and we are not succinctly focused on enforcing the contract. So people go after these corporations, or they go after abortion, and that they spend all their time fighting that. If you're going to fight a finger on the arm of the Leviathan, you'll never kill the beast.
Right.
But if we go after enforcing the entire contract, all of these things go away. We actually win in
doing
that.
That's the artery.
Right. And so there you go.
I get it. I get it. That's awesome. Now, how do we?
I've given you some really high level stuff that we can easily drill into.
That's okay. I'm a strategic thinker, so I mean, this is right down my alley. Okay, so in your estimation, what is our action plan for making that happen? How do we reach
Well, so what I need, and actually I grovel every day on my radio show or every other day. I try not to do it every day, but I grovel for people to help me. What I need is I've kind of got this momentum going on Republic Review, but what I'd like to do is get people to start working with the separate effort of creating the multiple state pressure so that they're – because – bottom line, when all of these things start bubbling up, the federal government or these people are going to have to figure out what do they want to go after first. And being creatures of self-preservation, senators are probably going to want to ensure their reelection. And so they may focus more on, you know, these state splits than the auditing because, oh, that auditing, what is that? And they'll probably quickly dismiss that until it's too late. But the state splits, as well as the 17th Amendment, if both of these things grow legs simultaneously as legitimate energies from these states that are doing both the audit as well as now the 17th Amendment and so forth, then you will probably find that it'll create enough pressure that the Republic Review and the auditing process will actually not be – I'll just say that the federal government won't be going after them. I think they're going to try to protect their self-preservation and their positions before they try to stop the audit, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I need help. I need people to start getting organized. I can help them. And, you know, we can start finding the county commissioners because it's easy to find. You can get the access to these people and then just reaching out to them and saying, are you aware that you've lost representation? Because bottom line, California, there are 10 counties that have to share their representation for both the Senate and for the House. And it was never intended to be that way.
Right.
And I would bet that every single one of those counties would be very much on board with pushing that second state issue as well as a constitutional convention. And same thing in Illinois and so forth. So if, you know, this would take not an army, but it would take a few people to start doing tag team calling and reaching out and so forth. But with me, because I'm trying to kill the beast. And this is a good effort in at least trying to save or delay, you know, states going completely bankrupt like Illinois. If I was in Illinois, I would be wanting to sever that state and let Chicago go bankrupt. And, you know, then you guys can come, you know, arise out of the ashes like a phoenix. So I could definitely use some help. Okay. People can reach out to me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And, you know, just give me your contact information. I will reach out to you. We can talk via Skype or what have you and get people started in organizing across the state boundaries because there's nothing that keeps us nowadays in the technology of no toll calls, you know, that you have unlimited long distance. You can just reach out to anybody and everybody all day long across these state boundaries and get them engaged and start moving that momentum as well as letting them know about Republic Review and how we're all working together. Because if we work together, we can get this done in a very short amount of time.
Right. And we've got a couple things. We've got a huge number of conservatives who have basically gone to sleep because Trump's in charge, so everything's all right. And it's because, you know, go back to our lives. So to get them re-engaged, to remind them that this is borrowed time, we need to make the absolute most use of it right now and not squander it, that's kind of been my main push right now. But let's revisit Liberty State. So your overall strategy here, just to wrap this up, and then I'll let you go because I know you got to get on to other great things. But right now we've got kind of a dual mechanism to pressure the counties. And that is to approach the county commissioners, identify those in the red states, and educate them on how to move forward with demanding a constitutional convention to review the state's constitution. Was that correct?
Correct. So what they can do is they can literally take away all of those little unconstitutional. So the states have these really low thresholds to make changes to their constitution. Like in Washington, I think it just requires a majority vote. And so they can literally shut those things down and get rid of those things and literally validate the constitution that is locked down from the progressives from being able to do that, to requiring a 3/4 vote of the counties, not democracy anymore. So right. Like with the homosexual marriage, that was a majority vote that instituted homosexual marriage. If they had a constitutional amendment, or I should say a constitutional measurement that required 3/4 of the counties to vote, or I should say approval. So when they do the election, the majority of each of these counties only counts as one vote, just like an amendment process. So you can still do it in a general election, but it would require the threshold of 3/4 of the counties to approve. That would shut down Seattle, because Seattle or Portland or these other population centers, because they will lose the representation of the people. Not, and the counties will actually maintain their control over that constitution and keep the progressive agenda out.
Right. Okay. So what is the authority for calling for a constitutional convention? Do we point to a Washington State Constitution article that?
No, it's the U.S. Constitution that they guarantee a Republican form of government, so the counties can literally call for a constitutional convention to basically pull in the counties. And when the population center, because this is exactly what they're going to do, they're going to go, well, we have more people, so we should have better representation. No, we're not a democracy. We are a Republican form of government. And at this point, it is the sub-elements of the government, the counties, that are calling to reel in this constitution. And so you go to Congress then to say, hey, look, they're trying to pull democracy on us, and near as we can tell, you guarantee us a Republican form of government, so give us our Republican form of government. And that is the big trigger.
Very
because
good.
That's when I think, especially with the Republican Congress right now, and if we maintain a Republican Congress after this election, there's going to be a lot of states that will be able to pull this trigger, because it will be defeating Congress if they allowed the democracy to rule.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So it would be in their best interest. And Trump, if Trump started getting this message of the guarantee clause and getting states to force republicanism and the Republican form of government, it would literally change the landscape of politics for the next century. It would almost guarantee conservative Republicans in office. But the Republicans, the deep state, whatever you want to call these rhinos, they're not conservative, and their hands will be tied, because they will recognize that they will lose their next elections by not protecting republicanism. I mean, it's the antithesis of being a Republican, right?
Right. Right. Unquestionably.
Anyway.
This is good stuff. Okay, well, I know we're out of time, but I just want to thank you so much for sharing those thoughts with us. It gives us a lot to chew on, and you've got a lot of resources over there. I'm looking forward to getting that that YouTube, that 30-minute YouTube video that you described.
Right.
Well, if you could shoot me that link.
I'll send you all the links to all of these different things so you can share all of this with your different listeners and audiences and so forth.
Super. We'll add that to the highlights and resources posting for this show. So, of course, that's over at radiofreeredoubt.com. And I want to thank you very much, G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic, the author and talk radio show, historian, constitutional studies expert, for being with us. You've got a lot of things going on. All of both of your radio shows and your websites, Mobius Strip Press and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We'll also have those linked. And I just want to thank you. God bless you for your tireless work that you continue to do. And I'm looking forward to following up with you.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to serve.
All right. God bless now.
God bless.
All right, you all have a blessed weekend. Thank you guys, or blessed week, rather. We'll talk to you next weekend. Hopefully we'll see some of you at the Red Pill Expo. Be looking for us at the Liberty State booth and a Radio Free Redoubt /Amron/Patriot Radio booth. Right there, along with Representative Matt Shea's re-election campaign information. shouldn't be too hard to find. So until then, you guys have a blessed week. Thank you so much for your financial support, for your prayers, and for your letters of encouragement. It's just really an honor to be counted as a fellow patriot among all of you. Just one of the most amazing groups of people I could ever be associated with. The listening audience and the Ameron operators and the Ameron core operators out there. Just an amazing group of people that are just a tremendous blessing. Okay, you've been listening to episode 1822 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. Good night.